Amen. You may be seated. Brother Rick.
So here we are, Stories of American Christians, and Adoniram Judson. Just so happens the song that we just sang, Martin Luther wrote that song, and the truth was that was the one song on Sunday morning, the kids program, that I would turn the TV on because I didn't go to church and stuff. That song means quite a bit to me. Powerful, God-honoring, majestic. Adoniram Judson, if I had not felt certain that every additional trial was ordered by infinite love and mercy, I could not survive my accumulated suffering. You know some of them, maybe you might be one, that their Christian walk is over broken glass, in dark areas, sometimes at the hospital, sometimes with the loss of a loved one, perhaps even a child. Adoniram Judson, if any missionary that I've ever read about, knew the depths of pain, knew the depths of loss, and he knew just how great his God was and is. Remember, I called the first part the call. You needed to know what motivated this phenomenally gifted young man to pack up and head off to the far corners of the globe with the expectation that it would cost him everything. Remember, I shared with you the letter that he shared with his future father-in-law. Those he would ask to follow him had to be willing to pay that same price. And it just so happens, Nancy was. And it now requires commitment. February 5th, 1812, a day before the ordination council, where they were called, where the five first missionary men met, were called to be missionaries going out from the United States to foreign lands. We'll see here in December, there was an earlier missionary, but of the three men out of these five, three of them would give their life on the field. Two of them have graves in the ocean. No place for a family to go except to the cross. So we talked about how they got to India. These command and teach, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to what? Doctrine. Now, how many of you have ever heard the phrase, you know, it's that love binds us together and doctrine divides? Well, all I'm telling you is, anything mentioned in the Bible 51 times, we ought to have a pretty good handle on it. 51 times. You know what you do? Since I was a sailor, I can speak from experience. When you're locked into a little small space aboard a ship, either you go screwy in the head, which some of my friends did, crawling around on all fours, biting people, playing jokes on everybody, just to keep halfway sane, or a believer starts getting deeply in, I'm sorry, yes, These are the people defending your safety, okay? They're still out there, okay? I'm sure the Army guys and Air Force guys could confess a little bit too. But the fact is, Brother Judson was stuck just like I was aboard my submarine. When you have your Bible, you can either not read it, or because you have absolutely little else to do, you get into it. Now, Brother Judson was a Congregationalist. The Congregationalist denomination grew out of Puritanism, which grew out of the Church of England, which grew out of Catholicism. And they carried with it some of those same forms. One of them was infant baptism. And they held on to it tooth and nail. He was a missionary on the way to the field, and all of a sudden the truth of God hits him like a lightning bolt, and he chose to stand on truth. The way he said it was, believer's baptism is not something I want to believe. It is something I have to believe based on the foundations of God's truth. I have to act. Which basically meant when he got to Calcutta, he had to tell the congregational people there, well, game's over. I'm a Baptist now. They ran off. Him and his wife were baptized there in the Baptist mission. Now, the Great Commission. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. And what? Go preach it, brother. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, right? Baptism. I was saved many, many years before I was ever baptized. It shouldn't have been that way. I should have known better. Those around me should have encouraged me more. Should have been able to explain why it's important for the believer to take a stand on the truth, to be a testimony of what God has already done on the inside. Well, it just so happens, I'm a grandpa too, and you want to know something? Watching your grandkids get baptized is cool. Your kids are nice. Watching your faith jump a generation and another generation, and by the grace of God, another generation. That should be every parent's objective. That's Katie, that's Hallie. Have you ever noticed that baptism pictures are really lousy? The best baptism pictures happen at, and who do you think that person is? That's the same guy playing the piano this morning. And then, this character. Come on. Well, anyway, it's actually supposed to be a video. I like doing baptisms even when it's cold at the Columbia River because the pictures are just so much better. So, on June 17th, 1812, Mr. and Mrs. Samuel Knott, Gordon Hall, and Luther Rice arrived on August 6th, 1812. Remember, the whole group couldn't fit on the caravan, so they had to get on two ships, one that came later. What was the problem when they arrived? We talked about it last week. Any of the young people remember? What was the problem? Here you have these American missionaries dropping off in Calcutta, India, and the East India Trading Company didn't like them to be there, did they? Why? Look at the year. The War of 1812. Not only did the Revolutionary War, we kicked the British out, we decided to declare war on the British Empire again to kick them off the North American continent. And if you were the British in India that had a 100,000 person army, of which 80,000 of those were Indian, Supais is what they were called. Do you think they want American missionaries coming and sharing this liberty concept and that Bible business? We'd be the Church of England. No. So they said they couldn't stay. The Newells were first to leave, and we saw this last week. The Newells left and went to the Isle of de France. It's in Mauritius and Port Louis. The trouble is, the three-week journey turned into 3 months, and a massive storm. She gave birth, early birth, to their daughter. The baby passed away 5 days later, buried at sea. And Harriet made it to Port Louis, but she expired soon thereafter. Here's a picture of Port Louis. This is 1850s, a painting. Luther Rice also had become a Baptist and traveled with the Judsons to Isle of France. And upon arrival, Nancy was crushed to learn of her death of her closest friend and her baby. That young woman had all the hopes that anybody would have of launching out to see souls saved, people changed, nations changed, the Word of God going forward. By the way, ultimately, it did happen that way. After her death, reports back to the Baptist churches in America galvanized people to take her and her husband's spot. Her husband, Samuel Newell, left for Ceylon, Sri Lanka. It's down here today. And while Luther Rice, due to poor health, returned to America to develop support for the Judsons, departing the Isle of France, they arrived in Madras. The Judsons would not give up. They were kicked out of Calcutta, so they would go to another place. Now, how many of you simply will not be denied? I know what God wants for me, and by the grace of God, I will hang tough. Mrs. Warner did not say yes to me until the fifth time. There are times, if God gives you the vision, you hang tough. And so they went to Madras, which is Chennai now, and again, the British East India Company says, you got to get out of here. Well, now that you're here, where else could they go? India, you can't. Nowhere really in the whole British Empire can you go, which was, remember the British Empire, sun doesn't set on the British Empire? No place to go. So, how many of you young men read books? Come on. Nobody? How about young ladies? You read books? You know, autobiographies, history books. Well, back in those days, they didn't have any video games to play. So they read books. So it just so happens, when he was in Malden, he read this book, An Account of an Embassy to the Kingdom of Ava in the years 1795. Ava was an empire in what would become the nation of Burma, or Myanmar, as it's called today. And that book taught him about a people and a culture that needed Christ. His memory of these people worshiping the multiple Buddhist concepts or animism like the Karen people. He was brokenhearted about these folks. I'm a missionary. Well, if India won't have me, I'll go to Burma. Problem with Burma, it's the middle of a civil war, massive malaria, hot, bothered, poison snakes. You live in huts that the cyclones and tornadoes blow through. You know, just a beautiful little hot spot, little, oh my, let's all go traveling here for fun. No, in fact, everybody where they were at, the Christians there said, don't go there. It'll cost you your life. There is no success without sacrifice. If you succeed without sacrifice, it is because someone else has suffered before you. If you sacrifice without success, it is because someone will what? Succeed after you. Young people, I want you to look at your parents. What do they put up with every single day to make you have the life you have? Just ponder that, just for a picosecond. Now, that's a really small amount of time. Brothers and sisters, look at the beautiful building we're in. What was the sacrifice to build this place? We get to enjoy it. I remember a little old lady called Geraldine. Geraldine thought she was an electrician. She thought she was a lot of things. And if you ever go on the other side over there and you find that the plug-ins are upside down, it's probably because no one's changed it on purpose, because they realized that this little lady with an invalid husband at home took care of him and would come to church and be as faithful as anybody you would dream of and was willing to come out here on weekdays and other days and work at things she just learned how to do, to sacrifice for us to be able to plug things in 2021. Love those that sacrifice for you. More than that, follow in their footsteps. Realize that life is about giving, not taking. Adoniram and Nancy leave for Rangoon, Burma. All right, it's now called Yangoon. But Rangoon, Burma was nothing more than, oh, Pasco in about, 1910. Not much to speak of. More than that, it's in the middle of a jungle with boats you get around through town. Oh, and if you walk outside the city limits, you become tiger food. That's just the way it is. You may have snakes that decide to crawl up into your house. Adoniram and Nancy leave for Rangoon, Burma. On the transit, Nancy gives birth to their first child. Sadly, it was stillborn and was buried at sea. God has already set up a beachhead in Rangoon. You'll never know what God has for you and how much He's prepared the way until you step out. If you don't step out, you'll never know what He's prepared for you. The Bible talks about for believers to do exploits. When was the last time you ever pondered about doing an exploit? That's like something you'd, you know, like a superhero thing. We do exploits. With God, all things are possible. So they get there after burying their first child at sea. Felix Carey. How many of you have ever heard of Felix Carey? You may have heard of his father, William Carey. He was a particular Baptist. If we turn back the clock to the early 1800s and somebody walked into Temple Baptist Church, they would call us particular Baptists. Looking at our doctrinal statement, we're very particular Baptists, okay? He was the initiator of modern missions. Literally through the Dark Ages, the mission passion had died in the Church of England. Died. Until this Baptist pastor said, no, we got to go. More than that, he went to India. More than that, he took his family. And one of them was his son Felix. Felix was in Rangoon praying for some help, for people not to just come visit, but people that had a passion for those people and a passion for God. He wrote back to his father when the Judsons arrived, "God answered my prayer in full." How would you like that spoken of you by a person from the outside? By the way, a couple years later, God would take his life because of the conditions there in Rangoon. It just so happens that missionaries that went to Asia, whether it was their lack of resistance to malaria and other things, it was just like some of the diseases that Native Americans got from us. People did not last very long there. Burma was a land right out of a fairy tale book. Jungles and monuments, and they're everywhere all over the place. The people, they eat rice. Now, how many Europeans do you think were rice eaters in the early 1800s? Just say no. It was not a meal that they were too akin to. And they also have some rather interesting customs. These are the Karen people. Guys, you want a girlfriend that's got a neck like 3 times longer than yours? In fact, they keep doing that their entire life. Okay? It's considered beautiful. Some girls have pierced ears, some don't. It's just a beauty thing. I will not leave Burma until the cross is planted here. How long? Forever. When was the last time you said something forever? Here I stand. The Word of God is as solid a ground as anybody can stand on. And a lot of times we as Christians imagine it's more like sand. It is not. Now, every missionary that goes to a foreign culture, every single one, has to learn the culture and the language before they can be effective. The Burmese language is one of the most difficult languages in the world to learn. The first is Mandarin Chinese. The second, just so happens, most of us here have a command of it. It's called English. We have rules and we throw them out at the whim. Now remember, a missionary can't just speak a language. They have to be able to read it and write it. Because their goal is not just to preach, their goal is to do what? Translate the Bible into that language. Well, it just so happens, to learn that culture, they would not talk to a stranger unless there was an open invitation. And in the Burmese culture, to have an open invitation, you would have your house, but outside your house, you'd have one of these things, a little building, all right, and that's called a zayat. A zayat is this open-walled building so people can just walk by and see you there, and that's where Judson would do a lot of his translation work, just waiting for somebody to come and talk to him. I've never talked to a Caucasian before. Let me go talk to you. And as he learned the language, by the way, he learned the Burmese language in 6 months. 6 months. Wait till I show you what some of it looks like. You could give me 6 times that time, and I'd still probably be where I'm at today. But a zayat, he built a small one, not very ornate, and he would literally be there 12 hours a day working on translation work. How would you like to be in no air conditioning, flies, bugs, mosquitoes, 12 hours a day working on translation work? Finally, after 6 years, Mayo Nao was the first convert. The first, after 6 years. How many of us give up on things in much less time than that? I have to admit, missionaries that don't make a lot of headway, I kind of wonder about them. Are they just being casual? Not really dedicated? No, that's not my place to be saying much of that. It's not really not my place. Whose servant do they belong to? And this man was working and chugging through translating the Bible using the original languages for these people, and God gave him his first. 2 months later, two more. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. How many of you have been frustrated and fed up with your financial condition? The house you live in, the neighborhood you got. You look in the mirror and says, you know, when God handed out the beautiful faces, he missed me. Young ladies sometimes have much more trouble with that, their concept of self-beauty. What does God call us to strive for? Strive for it. It's not going to be easy. We have to work for it, to be content with what God has given. Not that we don't work hard and try to better our position, but contentment is something that we can live on and draw sustenance from, and it strengthens us to not be owned by the things we have, but to truly own them. It just so happens. Do you think the Buddhists really liked having these Americans hanging around? More than that, they were probably British spies anyway, and those Brits over there already took over India, and you know they want to come over and take over us too. So a lot of the people tried, the magistrates tried to push them out. Adoniram Justin continues his translation work up into and completes the New Testament in 1823. That would be my job. That's when I would finish the translation work. Okay? The fall of 1820, Nancy returns to America due to poor health. Returns on December 5th. While in America, she writes a short book about their missionary efforts, and it was literally a bestseller. If you went to a Baptist home in the United States, they'd either read it or had a copy. America, these were the first missionaries from America. They would read it to their children, hoping by the grace of God that God would lead one of them to become a missionary. Local magistrates resist Judson's effort. He makes two trips to Ava, the capital, to talk to the emperor. Rejected both times, but close friends and contacts made. During Nancy's absence, Felix Carey passes away. The person that made the bridgehead in Rangoon, that their ministry was the foundation their ministry was built on, didn't even get to see all the fruit. Now, the emperor was a rather interesting individual. He was the quintessential politician, and when William Carey and Mr. Coleman was another missionary that had come after Carey passed away, and they made their petitions to the emperor, and he summarily dismissed them. Meh, I don't care. We don't need you. Everybody had doubts about them. January 2024, Adoniram and Nancy leave Rangoon and move to Ava, and they now both continue the translation of the Old Testament. By the way, Nancy translated Daniel and I believe Ecclesiastes. She translated two of the books of the Old Testament. For a woman to have that much command of three different foreign languages, Greek, well, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Burmese, was just mind-boggling. The idea that Judson could have done anything that he did without his spouses is just too much. Just so happens the British invade during the First Burmese War, starts March 5th, 1824. By June of that year, Judson is arrested. He will spend almost the next 2 full years in prison. He has death sentences given to him 3 separate times, and if it hadn't been for his wife's pleadings, they would have ended him. It got so bad that he was literally moved from one prison to another prison because the first prison where they were going to kill him was too good a prison. So they moved him to the death prison, and in that one he was put into a tiger cage that he couldn't stand up in, ever. He would have died there if it hadn't been for Mrs. Judson coming, giving him food, encouraging him, and ultimately, after 20 days after this date, she brought the little baby girl Maria, their second child. First time you see your dad's in chains in a dirty, stinky prison, but he's there for a reason. There is more you can do after you pray, but there is nothing you can do until you pray. The fact is, in my life, I have moved out so far ahead of God that I was tripping over my own feet. Get it right, then get going. Just so happens, Nancy... Here's this very petite, very proper Caucasian girl pleading to these gargantuan guards about ready to chop off Judson's head. And they're just broken. I'm thinking it wasn't just the cute little girl doing it. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do to people. Can break the heart, melt the heart. It just so happens those people gained a respect for Judson and Nancy. Now, how many of you have heard about the story of the pillow? Anybody? Story of the pillow? Man, is it okay if I go over 5 or 10 minutes tonight? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Because I got a lot of stuff. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that I don't have enough time. Okay? Well, let's talk about the story of the pillow. Anybody hear the story? If you had the New Testament all translated in the middle of a civil war where you wanted to destroy anything that was British or Western, what do you think many people would try to do with that New Testament translation? Burn it. Destroy it. Well, not only was Nancy brilliant as an academic, phenomenally loving as a wife, a politician beyond measure to get her husband off, she was rather sly. Well, some would say even sassy. So what she did, where's the safest place in the world for that New Testament? I'm going to sew it into an old, hard, nasty, stinky, stained pillow and go give it to my husband in prison. And you know what? It was safe there for over a year. When they moved him to the death prison, they said he couldn't take it and just threw it into the garbage. It was so nasty, so hard, and worthless. One of the servants of Justin watched that happen, took it out of the trash, and after he was released, came up and gave him the same stinky, nasty pillow. Now, I don't know about you, I've had some nasty pillows in the service aboard the ship, okay? I have a whole different view towards nasty pillows after this. It just so happens on November 25th, the British forces made it all the way to the prisons. He was released. But more importantly, how many Caucasians do you think spoke Burmese at this time. You could probably count them on a hand, and most of them did not have full command of it. So if I was the British and I want to make a peace, which is really more like a military takeover, all right, I want somebody to translate for them and for them to translate to me. Imagine having a translator that both sides hate. The Burmese didn't like him because they thought he was a British traitor. The Brits didn't like him because they thought he was an American traitor. But they needed him. They needed him. Adoniram and Nancy leave Ava and return to Rangoon in February. Adoniram was summoned to translator to complete the surrender and the Burmese and arranged and negotiate the final installation of British rule. Literally, from that date until after World War II, the Brits ruled Burma as a part of their empire. The East India Trading Company ruled them with a rod of iron. Literally, the normally Indian troops, were the ones that they garrisoned in Burma. Nancy Ann Judson passed on October 14th, 1826. 6 months later, little Maria passed at age 2. So here you are, summoned by the British government to work on paper, and you get word that the two most valuable things in your entire life are all gone. Brother Judson's faith was as strong as anybody's, but even strong men, strong as steel, steel under the right conditions, cracks and breaks. And for almost 3 years, Brother Judson was in massive despair. Imagine a person whose whole mission was to bring life, and life more abundantly, to a people who did not know. But every turn that he made, people he knew gave their lives for that mission. Children, friends, family. He literally built a small, I guess you could call it a cupola, out in the jungle, all right? And he would literally stay out there for days and days on end in the darkness of the jungle, trying to find out why God, why the cost? And sadly, an answer came. Judson, led by the Holy Spirit, realized, why was I a missionary? Why in the first place? Was I a missionary because I truly want to serve my God? Or is it because I want to be the best missionary there ever was? That my pride... Fellow men, may I talk my heart with you for a second? If there's one thing God doesn't want in us, is pride. There's a difference between confidence in your skills, confidence in God's grace, and pride, like I've done it myself. That all these things are because of what I did. Sadly, in our culture, we drive pride, whether it's in sporting events, video games, even our uplifting, perhaps sometimes, of military victories. But pride, he in the darkness of these jungles, seeing eyes in the jungle, maybe trying to figure out whether he's going to be the next dinner or not. God saw into him and showed him his own pride. He was more broken then than was just a loss. It just so happens, he snaps out of it when he receives a letter from his brother. When a person gets saved, one of the first indications of the reality of that truth is their burden for their lost family members. If you have lost family members, it tears you up. It burns you. You cry over it. Now, that name is a real Bible name. It's mentioned 6 places, and this family is the weirdest family on the planet. They name all their children weird names from the Bible. Caleb, Ethan. Yeah, I like those, okay? Adoniram and Elnathan. Not so much the name I would give, all right? But Elnathan was the second oldest. He lived a pretty rough life. His dad was a pastor. He was the quintessential PK, pastor's kid. But eventually, God wouldn't let him go, and he accepted Christ. That, the realization that God still works, it is as if all the energy of those years had been saved up and drove him for the next 8 years to continue the work. 8 years after the passing of Ann, on April 1834, Adoniram marries Sari Boardman. Now, the Boardmans had come, you might call the second wave of missionaries. They went to a group of people called the Karens. The Karen people. These people are the ones with the big rings in their necks. All right? The Karens. And what do you think? They just took to like paint. The gospel. Literally, as Brother Boardman was dying, he was on a bed watching many people get baptized. Even to this day, the Karen people, a minority that's persecuted in Burma, the vast majority of them are Christians. Today, remember Judson's promise? I'm going to plant the Christian faith here forever. Well, it's still going. Well, when her husband died, Mrs. Boardman decided to stay. She had one child, one young boy. She decided to stay. By the way, in the process of staying, first of all, it was absolutely surprising to everybody. But with Judson, he'd been single. And here's this woman with a son. They both have a love for the Burmese people. Just so happens, God works some miraculous things. And they eventually got married. And the Karen people, the truth is, if there was a people group I would love to visit, would be the Karens. They won't let me get a visa to there, but I'd love to go visit the Karen people. The motto for every missionary, whether preacher, printer, or schoolmaster, ought to be what? Devoted for life. If you're going to take the mantle of missionary upon you, you do not have the right to put it down yourself. God would do that. You want to know the average percentage of people that complete their first, come home on their first furlough that go back the second time? It's less than 70%. Less than 70. That was a problem in Judson's time as well. Missionaries would come, spend some time, get some cred, and bail back to the United States and brag about it for the rest of their lives. Is that the missionaries God wants? Some of these missionaries would literally pack all of their belongings when they headed to the field in coffins. They were very easy to pack and carry. They had handles built on them. They were almost watertight. But they also knew something. A good portion of us are not coming back. That's a whole different degree of dedication than perhaps we're used to. It just so happens in the early 1840s, the dream of any Christian missionary is to raise up believers, empower them with their own word of God, and see that they get a Burmese pastor. A self-sufficient, self-living, self-duplicating church. This is a drawing of the very first pastor of the Rangoon Baptist Church, now called the Judson Memorial Church. And there it is today. September 26, 1835, he completed his translation of the Old Testament, first published in 1840, the complete Burmese Bible in 1840. In November 1835, he baptized his 100th believer. His initial goals had been met. 100 believers, start a church, develop a pastor, move on. Sarah and Adoniram had 8 children, and 5 lived past infancy. Her son George Boardman was raised by Adoniram. In 1844, Sarah Judson's health was so deteriorating that a decision was to come back to America. Adoniram's first furlough in 33 years. Wow. But tragedy awaited. They made it to St. Helena. Now, some of you history buffs may know what St. Helena played a big role at one time. It just so happened St. Helena is a rock literally in the middle of the southern Atlantic Ocean. It is 1,500 miles from anywhere. A man called Napoleon got marooned on Elba. He escaped. Eventually, there was the Battle of Waterloo. Now, what do you do with a Napoleon when you don't want him to get away? You stuff him on St. Helena. This is where Napoleon died. But the fact is, they came there after that. Sarah dies on their stop on St. Helena. Here's Judson. 6 children. 5 of their own, plus little George Boardman. And his wife passes away. I always imagined that dark time started to come over him again. This is just a picture of Napoleon, and that's Longwood House, where he actually lived for that period of time and eventually passed there. But he would sit on the beach waiting for the next ship to take him to America. God, what do you have for me? They were so busy serving God, there is no photograph, no painting, no drawing of Sarah. All he had left was his memories. And some would say, after reading those, of all the women he loved them all. But Sarah was somebody special. By the way, she was so interested in the Karen people, as just a hobby, she would translate other great works of Christian literature, such as Pilgrim Progress, into the Karen language, which is slightly different than the Burmese language. She translated hymns. Grab a hymn book and translate the hymns to give them music and song. Her blue eyes, he described as the ocean. But God was faithful in everything else he'd been through. So here, if I had not felt certain that every additional trial was ordered by infinite love and mercy, I could not have survived my accumulated suffering. Brothers and sisters, if Brother Judson can say, this tragedy is from the hand of God, let's take a step back from the challenges in our life and realize maybe we can learn something from this instead of having our faith shredded, as Satan would like. By the way, when he got to America, he wanted to establish a memorial for his wife and tell everybody just how beautiful a person she was. So she met this writer, Emily Chubbuck, a fine Christian woman, and she actually wrote most of the historical documentation that is used in writing every book since then about her. Imagine sitting across from Judson men, you know how much you love your wives. Try to explain that to somebody. I'm sorry, that's hard for me. It's too deep. It's too complex. It's too simple. It just so happens that in that process, Emily Chubbuck realized, this guy's older than me, but he's a very special person. And by the way, they fell in love with each other. And that work was published. And just like the first work the first Mrs. Judson put out, it again was a spectacular bestseller. I tried to get a copy of that. There isn't one that's for sale anywhere at any price. Just not. And they got wed in 1846. I'm 64 years old. Almost 66 years old. If Mrs. Warner were to pass, what would be the proper age for me to marry somebody if I fell in love with somebody? What would be the proper age for me to do that? 30? Eyeballs are buggering out. How about 40? 50, a little more comfortable. 60, really comfortable. Well, it just so happened she was half his age. Now, in past times, that was not as uncommon as you might think. Most Bible scholars believe that Mary was about half the age of Joseph when they got married. He had to have a profession. He had to have money to be able to hold a family. He had to have skill. And by the way, girls didn't get married with guys just like, ooh, I like him. There had to be more than that. The future is as bright as the promises of God, Adoniram Justin. Brothers and sisters, that's a truth positive beyond measure for all of us. Though Adoniram felt he would never see America again, he wasn't sad. He said of himself, I feel like the Adoniram Judson of 1812. He wasn't that young anymore. In the spring of 1850, Adoniram takes ill. He decides to accompany Thomas Rainey on a sea voyage, hoping it would improve his health. On April 3rd, 1850, Adoniram passes at sea and is ultimately buried, as he wished to be, in the Bay of Bengal between India and Burma. By the way, very close to where their first child was buried at sea. In 1851, Emily Judson returns to America with her 5 stepchildren and her daughter. She assembled all the source information for Francis Whalen's biography of Adoniram Judson. That biography is the quintessential document if you want to learn about these folks, all of them. Emily put all that information together, and Whalen, who was the president of Brown University, wrote the book and got all the credit, but Emily did the work. She was also interviewed by Arabella Stewart for her book focusing on the 3 Mrs. Judsons. A first edition of that book is the old book that's out in the glass case, a first edition. By the way, you can get Whalen's book online in PDF form. Emily would not see either of these books published. She died of pneumonia, or consumption as it was called, in 1854. Here's the front cover of Wayland's book. And here's Arabella Stewart's work on the three Mrs. Judsons. You can actually get this book. If you're a lady, I would recommend you getting this book. If you're a man, I would recommend you getting that book and realize just how thankful you should be of your spouse. The last words of Adoniram Judson, his friend recorded these just as he passed. The love of Christ, boundless in its breadth, infinite in its length, fathomless in its depths, and measureless in its height. In these deserts, let me labor. On these mountains, let me tell how he died, the blessed Savior, to redeem a world from hell. You remember his friend Ames, how he died? A totally different death. The lost, the saved. Just so happens, if you go to back to Malden, Massachusetts, the First Baptist Church of Malden, this is an American Baptist church, so I wouldn't attend it necessarily. We can talk about that later. But this building was built back in the 1800s, and it has a Judson Memorial Chapel. And in there is a marble plate to commemorate Judson, born August 9th, 1788, died April 12th, 1850, Malden his birthplace, the ocean his sepulcher, converted Burmans, and the Burman Bible his monument. His record is on high. You know, no good thing you ever do goes unrecorded. Our God knows every cup of water you've ever given. Every cup. By the way, this is a copy of that first edition of the Burman Bible. This is in Houston at the Houston Bible College. They have the Dunham Bible Library, and this is a first edition. This is the condition it came to the library in, and they restored it as best they could, right back to the way it was originally put out by rebinding it all. And next month, that's the end. Hopefully that's been a blessing for you. We're going to cover next month Harriet Tubman. That ought to be interesting, I think, don't you? Anyway, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly